Hi, my name is Mike Richards, and I'm the pastor at Crosspoint Church, and we are so excited that you're joining us online today. Wherever you're joining us from, you're on a transformational journey, and we're excited to be a part of that with you. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from one of our worship hosts. They're going to be sharing with you some of the specific information about this service. You're also going to see some different ministries that we offer and ways that you can connect with us. If something sparks your interest or you'd like to know more about how you connect with us, just reach out to us. We'd love to connect with you further. God has never meant for us to do life alone, and we hope that you know that you have a place here with us.
Good morning, Crosspoint family. We want to welcome you to worship this morning. If you're in the foyer, if you would come on in, we would love to worship our Lord this morning together. If you're new with us, we would love to connect out at the connections desk. We also want you to know that we have moved our Explore Crosspoint class to May 15th. If you're interested in that, just give us a shout and let us know that you would like to be part of that. Today we want to thank God for the gift of our mothers. That's our cultural thing today. Some people call it a Hallmark holiday, but you know what? It's always a good thing to say thanks to mom, right? She gave you life. It's a good thing to do. We also want to acknowledge that Mother's Day can be really hard, and we don't know what your story is. We don't know where you are, but we want to hold you and your story before the Father, and we want to thank your mom for the gift of life that she gave you because you are here because of that. So thank you for being part of our congregation and our body of Christ. Say thanks to your mom today. And if you are in one of those places of pain today, know that there are people praying with you, praying for you through that. One of the great gifts I have as a mom is watching how God shapes my daughter and watching her heart. And you are seeing and experiencing some of that in her project for school. Thank you so much for your support of her. She is out there again today. Her name is Annalise. And you can ask her for some stories. We have some great stories of ministry that's happening in Poland with the Ukrainian refugees. We'd love to share those and some of what we are part of. What she didn't mention is that I am the administrator for a missions organization, and Poland is one of the countries we work in. So when Russia invaded Ukraine, one of the things that we did is our ministry partners pivoted immediately to how can we help the people flooding our borders. Right now, there are over 2 million children, refugees, in Poland alone. So the need is huge. And we want to thank you for your support. And I want to thank you as a mom for supporting how God is growing my own child. This morning, we're going to read from Psalm 47. I don't know if you read the Psalms very often, if you read just one or two, but they give us the full range of emotion and experience in life. And I encourage you, just start reading the Psalms. David has an amazing way of articulating what is going on in life and his relationship with God, and there are shadows of that in our lives as well. So we are going to look at Psalm 47 today. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing his praises. Sing praises to the King of all earth. Sing praises with a psalm. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of today, the gift of being able to worship you together. We offer you praise for who you are, and we thank you for your many gifts. We offer our hurts and our cares to you for your care. Would you calm us, calm our minds and our hearts, and help us hear from you today, especially. Amen.
Amen. We are going to sing corporately together. Please stand if you are able.
am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the dark. Singing your praise. How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I can sing in the troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up, sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing, for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing.
You may be seated. I'm going to read for you Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Well, welcome this morning. If you are new with us, or if you're online and you're new with us, my name is Mike Richards. I'm the pastor here at Cross Point, and I want to welcome you today as we enter into our worship. Over the course of this year, since January, we've been in the book of 1 Chronicles. Today's service is going to be a little bit different. We're going to intertwine the message with everything that we do. So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to take them out and turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. 1 Chronicles 25. And join with me in prayer as we take the word of the Lord before our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the opportunity to look into your word, to worship you, to lift you up. You are definitely worthy of our worship. And so we ask that you would be honored and glorified today. We ask that your word would speak to our hearts and that the music of this service would cause our hearts to sing. We just ask this in your name. Amen. As we've been going through this book, we've seen David having a heart that wants to glorify God by establishing the temple. We've saw God coming to David and saying, you know what, that's great. I really appreciate that, but you're not the one to do it. His son Solomon was going to take that responsibility. And then we've seen as he's prepared Solomon to step into that role. As we turn to chapter 25 today, the big thing that David is preparing Solomon for is the worship that will take place. Follow along with me as we read. 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. David and the chiefs of the service also set apart for the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jethim, who prophesied with lyres and harps and cymbals. A list of those who did the work of their duties was, and it goes on, and for the rest of this section, it goes on and it lists this, the sons of Asaph, the sons of Heman, the sons of Jethim. And we jump down to the end of that paragraph, and it says, the number of them, along with their brothers who were trained in singing to the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288 musicians. They cast lots for their duties, small and great, teacher and pupil alike. 288 musicians. Some people would call that concerning. If you've been around musicians a little bit, you know they are a unique breed. I know that because that's one of the passions I have. David knew this. If you understand David, I can see David in this place where maybe it was almost like he was fighting between himself. Here he is, king of Israel, a warrior that was not allowed to build the temple. But if we go back to when he was raised, do you remember who he was? He was the shepherd boy. He was the one who would calm the sheep with his harp. He was the one that was trained as a musician. And I can't imagine as he's preparing to hand over not only the building of the temple, but the worship that would take place in the temple to Solomon, thinking how much of his heart wanted to be there, right? David never saw this come to fruition. He died before the temple was built. So David and all of these chief priests and sons of those that were gifted, it says they prophesied with lyres and harps and cymbals. Now up until this time, the worship for the tabernacle had trumpets, right? Where is he? I was going to ask you to bring your trumpet and start off the worship service today. It started with trumpets, but then David created an entire orchestra. And everyone knows that the guitar is the center of the orchestra. Stringed instruments and harps and cymbals and drums, and he prepared for this wonderful, wonderful worship. See, music is a vital and powerful element of our worship. If you look at the history of the church, you see it. Music is one of the things that creates the most division in churches, uniquely. The thing that should unite us, the thing that is great, becomes the thing that divides. Why? Well, they didn't sing the songs I liked today. They didn't use the style of music that I preferred today, right? And so then we get churches for a while. When I was in college, they had churches that would have a contemporary service and a traditional service. Why? Because we had to appease all of the people that had different opinions. One of the things they found out was it created division in their churches by doing that. You had two different congregations. And so when we're coming to this and David's preparing the temple to be built and the worship that was going to take place, we have to understand worship is not about us. Worship is about our Heavenly Father. And the worship that took place here was intricately woven with music. Music is a vital and powerful element of worship.
I have some people that just, they don't like music. They prefer that it's not a part of worship in some ways. In fact, there was different groups through the ages that tried to cut music out of worship. I think that when we do that, we cause God's heart to break. We were created to sing. We were created to bring music. As we join together in worship today, we're not only going to be answering the question, why is music vital and powerful, and a vital and powerful element of our worship, but our endeavor is to help us all engage in that together. Not just to talk to you about it, but to draw you in to worship. So one of the things that we've done, and sometimes the ideas in my head are much loftier than the reality of how they work out. The idea for today is to incorporate the songs, the music, through the service. And not have it be, you'll hear people talk about this. When they come to a worship service, they say, wasn't the worship good today? What are they talking about? Music. I'll tell you this right now. Music is not confined, worship is not confined to music. In fact, music can become a deterrent to our worship if it's not done properly, if it's not incorporated correctly. And we're going to talk about that. There's four key reasons why worship is a powerful and vital element of our worship. But as we go through today, we're hoping that what we've experienced together is that the words, the music, the word will all intertwine in such a way that it brings glory to the one true God. There are four ways that music is vital and a powerful element of worship. The first way that we're going to look at is music draws out our thoughts to reflect on the glory and the activity of the triune God. Music draws our thoughts to actually reflect on his glory and his character and who he is, what he's done in the works of his hand. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of his wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. As we enter into worship, we want to start by lifting up praise to the one who we are worshiping. We want to start by saying, Lord, what are the things that we can recall from our week, from this year, that we can lift up and say, we want to praise you for your work in that area. We want to praise you for your character and who you are and how it spells itself out. I'll give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart, recounting his wonderful deeds. We're going to take some time and do that right now. This is also another time where it's dangerous because we're relying on people to say, I've got something I want to praise the Lord for today. And it takes time to do this. So we have a microphone. If you'd raise your hand, if you've got something that's a story. So worship is individual, but when we come here, worship is corporate. So what does that mean? I may have a story that I lift up to God personally for worship, and that's beautiful. But when we worship and we lift that up before the body, everyone joins in and lifts up his name in praise. So what is something that you can lift up and praise God for this week that he has done? Who's going to be bold and start off? What's something you praise the Lord for today? We already praised him for mothers. That's the start of our service. Great works of God. Over here, Terry.
Since we did mothers, I'll do my father. He passed away a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, 5 of my brothers got together and built a casket for him. The funeral is on the 23rd. But as thinking about Dad, the week or 2 weeks before he passed away, I was there talking to him, and I said, well, he knew his time was coming to the end. I said, when you get there, give Mom a hug for me. And he told me, no. And I said, what? And he said, no, I got to see Jesus first. So, wow. So that's a good memory of my dad.
Oh, thank you. Lord, thank you for Terry's dad. Thank you for that wonderful story of his life. And we praise you for the way that you've worked through him. What else can you praise the Lord for this week?
Well, we thanked the Lord for our moms, and yesterday we celebrated Mom's Day early because of the weather. So my three brothers and my mom were able to get together at our house, which we haven't done for, you know, over a year, longer maybe. So I just thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
And for her godly upbringing for us four boys.
Thank you. And the fact that you were able to gather together. Little things, right? How soon we forget we were able to gather together. That's amazing. And there's a wise man. We need to talk to him about leadership because he moved Mother's Day to a day where the weather was right. I'm trying to grill out this afternoon. I don't know how that's going to work. So, what can we praise him for?
I want to thank the Lord that Linda and Ray are back with us. I've missed their
praise God
faces, so I'm happy to see them here. And also, as Mike and I were walking up to the church and the flowers were blooming, I'm thankful for whoever takes care of that. I think it's Marilyn. But also just the new life in spring.
Yes. Another one over here, Gunner.
So during COVID, my neighbors across the way from me, they have three little kids and their two parents and they're all young kids. The youngest one just turned two, and so I would go over there a lot and hang out with them. We just had games night and different stuff. This week I got over there because her husband's in the missionary. He's on a trip, and the little boy Ethan, who's 2 years old, when I'm outside doing anything, he yells my name. So if you're like at the end of the parking lot here, you can hear him yelling my name. And I always go over and play with him and stuff. And we just had a fun day. It's so fun to be around, you know, little kids. And they tease me and call me Uncle Gunner. So it's always a lot of fun to be over there. And it was just a lot of fun.
That's awesome. The works of God, yes.
I'm just really grateful that 47 of us were able to graduate from Bethany Global University and be commissioned to take the gospel to where it's not and help others to do the same, and we look forward to that.
Praise the Lord. One more up here.
How much time do I have?
Not that much.
Well, okay, I'll be thankful for whatever time I have. I thank God every single day for the life he's given me. My faith has been strengthened so much in the last couple of years, and it's been tough at times, but I could go on and on and on, but you're the long talker here, not me. talk as long as you want. I love your sermons.
Too often, we engage in worship, but we sit and we face one direction and we don't interact. I think God is really glorified when the body lifts up his praise together. And that's what we're going to do next. So I'm going to ask you to stand with us as we take this next song, Glory to God. Look at the words as we're singing. Don't just allow words to come off of your tongue without going through your mind first. Because a part of worship is that our thoughts are directed to bring glory to God.
To God forever.
blessed name all my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Are dismissed for Faith Journey. You can meet your teachers at the back doors.
When you go to Lisbon, when you walk around, there's a ton of beautiful cathedrals and Catholic churches. They have a religious heritage, and so when you talk about the Bible, it doesn't necessarily scare them away. In Portugal, one or two out of every 100 people might be a Christian.
Even though a country can be wealthy and without a lot of tangible needs, their spiritual need is just huge.
We are a secular country with a very Roman Catholic background. We are dying for lack of values, for lack of compassion, and we need to the transforming message of the gospel here.
We're Jonathan and Tracy Shoemaker, and we live here in Lisbon, Portugal. We have 4 children. We've been here since 2006, and we're missionaries with Reach Global.
I'm Israel, this is my wife Sarah, and we've been working with church planting for the past 4 years and a half.
We are Gary and Terry Camlin, and we have been serving in Portugal for over 21 years now.
Our primary ministries here in Lisbon have been involved with church planting, outreach to college students, and theological education. The Vida Nova Network is a group of church planting projects that are all connected with the Vida Nova Baptist Church. Either a Portuguese national or a missionary and some lay people that are planting churches, and we're all working together to resource each other, to learn together, to encourage each other, to pray for each other within the network.
Trabalhar sozinhos então, temos trabalhado com várias parcerias, com outras juntas missionárias, com outras igrejas em Portugal. Reach Global é uma delas. Então, queremos ver um movimento de plantação de igrejas a acontecer em Portugal. A Rede Vida Nova é apenas um contributo nesse sentido.
The connection with Vida Nova Church is really being refreshing to us. It's good to be in the ministry, to be serving, but also to be served, also to be trained.
Once a week, Israel shares a Bible story with this group of about 50 kids and helps encourage them or give them some perspective of faith in their life, not just helping them with their homework, not just meeting with, you know, playing games with them.
These are non-church kids, and we've been able to take them to Young Life, which is easy, controlled chaos party with a purpose. and it's been fun to see the kids open up and read their Bibles and ask questions and investigate.
The school has now been in existence for over 40 years. There are now hundreds of graduates serving in various parts of Portugal, but also around the world.
We do believe that the Bible Institute is making history as far as spreading the gospel and training up leaders for the evangelical future of Portugal.
There is still a lot of need for evangelism, for discipleship, for church planting. And so we need people who are willing to invest their lives in the Portuguese people and to train Portuguese people up for reaching their own people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If someone is interested in pursuing like relationships with unbelievers and they want to be persistent in that, then this is the place to come.
We'd love to see God bring a new wave of young people to work with us, to work with the Portuguese in reaching their neighborhoods, reaching their cities for Jesus.
Israel and Sarah, who were in that video, are two of the missionaries that we support as Cross Point Church. And they are going to be actually visiting with us in 2 weeks. They're going to be here for the weekend of the 22nd and sharing in the course of that morning and about their ministry. Reach Global is an arm of the Evangelical Free Church that reaches out to the world. And so that's our missional focus as part of the Evangelical Free Church of America. If you want to know more about that, I encourage you to come next Sunday after the service for the Explore Crosspoint. We'll be sharing more about those connections and how they work. come back in 2 weeks to actually engage with Israel and Sarah. On that Saturday, the 21st, we're going to be having a time here at Crosspoint at 4 o'clock, I believe it is, right, Duane? 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They have a young one that wasn't in that video that'll be with them too. And so we're trying to work around with their schedule of things. But 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come here, be able to engage with them on Saturday, and then that'll be a part of our worship service on Sunday. Offering. Offering is another aspect of worship. But too often we think of offering as, well, it's just something I got to, you know, just got to flip money in the coffer for the church, make sure that the church gets what they need. But we take it out of context because offering is to actually bring to God what is worthy of his name. And so if we are worshiping God, the term worship itself in the English sense is a word that means a ship that was worthy of being launched. So they would check a ship out to make sure, and before they would hit the champagne bottle over it, they'd make sure that it was ready to be launched. And so when we bring worship, we are bringing that which is saying, you are worthy of what we're offering, what we are offering to you. And it takes place with our whole heart and our life, and not just a checkbook. But a part of that is that when our whole life is engaged in worship, there's not a part of us that we hold back from him either. Everything that we have, everything that we are is his. And so our worship comes today. We have four ways that music is a vital and powerful element of our worship. First one we just looked at earlier is that it draws our thoughts to reflect on the glory and activity of the triune God. The second one is that music unites our mind and emotions to glorify God. It unites our mind and emotions to glorify God. One of the things we're incorporating today in this is the Psalms. You'll see we've incorporated several Psalms. And the reason for that is this. While David was king, many of the Psalms that are written were songs that he wrote. They're actually music to these. And so as we take a look at each one of these, we see aspects of this. Psalm 77, 1 through 4. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. In many of the Psalms, you'll notice there's a heading on some of them. This psalm was written by David to the choir master, according to Jeduthun, and it was a psalm of Asaph. These were the people that we just read about that he placed in as leaders. And they're writing this. And the day of trouble, I seek the Lord, is the title of this one. I cry aloud to God. In my day of trouble, I seek him. Can you hear the angst in this person at this moment? See, music unites both our minds and our emotions to glorify God. God created us to be emotional beings. Why? Because God is an emotional God. Everything that God created us to be was to be a reflection of his image. And so, even though we are from Scandinavian roots here in Minnesota, and people struggle with things like showing emotion, music is an opportunity for us to express, to emote what God has crafted us to be. See, God has created us to be emotional beings because we are a reflection of God himself. Now, there's a difference between being expressing emotion and the two opposite ends of that spectrum. One is stoicism. Stoicism is that I can't let anybody see me cry. I can't let anybody know that I'm upset or I'm frustrated. Everything needs to be calm. And then on the other hand, you've got the other individual. My wife is from an Italian background. And emotions just flow. But if you take that to that extreme, that's emotionalism. Stoicism is to say, I'm denying my emotions. Emotionalism is to say, I'm going to be driven by my emotions. But there in the middle is the balance. And the balance is where emotions are real. They are a gift from God. And we can't deny them, but we also can't be driven by them. Instead, we express them. And our God is so much bigger than the struggles and the frustrations that cause our emotions to get whipped up. See, music is an opportunity to unite our mind and our emotions to glorify God. Music also helps us, third, to remember truth about God. Music helps us to remember truth. So many times when I was struggling in school, and I know some of you are getting to the end of your school year here, and there's these things called tests at the end of your year, I would struggle to remember things that I was going to be tested on. And so one of the things that I used was music to help me remember what I needed to know. Why? Because when you put lyrics to a harmony, a melody, or a beat, you can actually remember what you're trying to say. I think the same is true with worship. And one of the reasons why we bring worship and music into worship is because it helps us to remember the truths that God says about himself. Things that we are so fortunate. I don't know how many of these you have in your home, but we are so fortunate that we've got the written word of God right now. For hundreds of years, they didn't have that. And so, how did they teach? They would use music, they would use other ways to help people remember truths about God. The catechism that we spoke about last week was asking and answering questions. And so our music should be in line with God's word. It should bring out his truth of who he is. I don't just sing a song because I like the beat or I like the words. But do the words have value? Are they grounded? There are several songs that churches sing over the years that we probably should throw out and burn and get rid of because it's not worship. It'd be similar to taking one of the top 10 songs of our culture and singing it in a service and thinking that it's bringing glory to God. It has to be in line with what he says in order for worship to be true. So music helps us to remember truth about God. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work, at the words of your hands, I sing for joy. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. In fact, that word good is one we have to be cautious of how we throw around. It's kind of like that word awesome. If everything's awesome, then nothing's awesome, right? And occasionally I'll be interacting with Danny's boss, who's the head of theology for our denomination, and he'll say, well, how are you? And I'll say, well, I'm good. And he'll stop me and say, no, you're not. Because there's only one who is good. Only God is good. And I have to take a step back and say, okay, be cautious, Mike, of the words that you use, right? But it says, it is good to what? Give thanks to the Lord. To sing praises to his name. To declare his steadfast love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. In the morning when you get up, is the first thing that you're saying before your feet hit the floor is, Lord, thank you for today. You're going to show me your faithfulness, your love. And is the last thing before your head hits the pillow to say, Lord, today you worked in my life in this way. You walked beside me. You provided for me, and you are worthy of my praise from the dawn till the end. Worthy he is. So what's the challenge with that? Well, first of all, allow your emotions to be expressed through music to bring glory to God. You're struggling? Maybe you need to sing out, I cry aloud to God, aloud and he will hear me. As you read through this psalm, it's amazing the depth of what's in there. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You will, with your arm, redeem your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The Lord is worthy of praise. He's worthy of emotions that express our trust in him. I'm going to ask you to stand again and join with us. We're going to sing the song, Worthy of Your Name. It's a new song that we have just been bringing you the last few weeks. But as the words are on the screen and as you are singing this together, allow the truth of who God is to be heard through the voices of his people.
You are worthy of your name.
Catch the words in that song. It's one thing to lift up and say his name is worthy, but listen to the words. You did not speak, you made no sound. You died for your accusers. And as your blood fell to the ground, you redefined my future. Yet on the day that you arose, the darkness ran for cover. The King of Kings has claimed his throne now until forever. He is worthy. In our worship, music plays a vital and a powerful role. That music, first of all, it draws our thoughts to reflect the glory and the activity of God. But then music unites, intertwines our mind and our emotion, engages both our thoughts and our feelings to bring glory to God. And then music helps us to remember truth about God. But then music, finally, joins us together in expressing our common bond through the gospel. When David was writing these psalms, when he was preparing the temple, do you remember in the very innermost part of the temple was a place that only the high priest could go once a year? And it was the center of worship, but it was interesting to me that the very heart and center of worship only one individual truly got to experience, the high priest. And he would come and he would sacrifice the lamb on the altar, first for himself and his sin, then for the sins of the nation. And every year that sacrifice had to take place. See, music plays a vital part in our worship because it helps us to unify together our common bond over the gospel, the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that the one that we are worshiping did not withhold from us access to himself, but instead, his very son, the only high priest that was able to make sacrifice without having to worry about his personal sin, goes and dies on our behalf. And our worship, the only ones that have the ability to worship him truly like this are the ones who have received Jesus Christ's gift of salvation. See, it's not a ritual that we perform by coming here. We can't get brownie points for God by singing on key. We can't mess up so bad that he's going to say, forget it, I'm not want you up here playing my harp. No, instead, we enter into this because of his love for us. See, music unifies us, unites us in expressing our common bond through the gospel. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. So those of you who wish that all we did was hymns, God says, I want you to sing me a new song. Okay? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. This is amazing. David is singing this, right? Looking forward to what was going to happen in the temple. We look back at what happened at the cross, and we can tell of his salvation day to day. Declare his glory among the peoples, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. The night before Jesus was crucified, he brought the disciples together for a meal. And he said to them, we have something new you're going to experience tonight. You've had this meal your entire lives, but tonight it's going to take on a new purpose. If you're here and you have taken one of these cups that was at the back when you came in, and we use these for communion now, let me explain a little bit about communion. Communion is the Lord's Supper. It's Jesus' supper. It's his meal. And that meal is to be shared by those who have received the gift of his salvation personally. So first and foremost, if you have not received that gift, then this isn't a meal for you. But it's simple to receive his gift. It's to recognize, I could not deal with my separation from God, my sin, on my own. I needed a substitute. And God says, I love you so much, I'm going to send that substitute. Jesus goes to the cross, and he dies on our behalf. And remember when we started, we said we will worship the Lord with our whole heart. You come before him and you say, God, take my life. I can't bridge the gap, but Jesus did. Take my life, Lord, as worship for you. And he says, you know what? It's not just the high priest that's going to enter in anymore. And the moment that Jesus died, the temple curtain was ripped from top to bottom, and that Holy of Holies was exposed for everyone. You don't have to go through a priest today. Well, yes, you do. You have to go through the priest, Jesus. If you have never received that gift, I invite you to do it right now. I invite you to just say to him, Father, forgive me of my sin based on Jesus Christ's death on my behalf. Take my life. We're told some instructions about this meal too. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship. So when we take a part of it, we're supposed to be concerned about our relationship with each other as well as we are to him, right? Back to Corinthians, Paul tells them, you know what, whenever you get together and you're eating of the Lord's Supper, you're actually bringing condemnation on yourself because you don't have right relationships with each other. And it's a mockery of what you're doing because you're saying, hey, God, we want to worship you, thank you for this, but you aren't even bridging out the problems among your body. So the first thing is that are you in a right relationship with God, your Father, and with your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you're not, take care of it first. If that's unable to happen at this moment, right here in this time, then if you partake of this today, do so with the commitment that at the first possible chance, you will take care of that issue. It's vital. Why? Because he is worthy. He is worthy. Say that with me. He is worthy. If you have the communion cups, I'd like you to take back that top layer. Take out that piece of that little wafer. This represents Jesus' body, which was broken for you. Take and eat. Now peel back that next layer. We're told in Scripture that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In other words, there has to be a death. And God says, I got it covered. Literally, I have you covered with the blood. Take and drink. Heavenly Father, you alone are worthy of worship. And as we look at our lives and our weeks and those things that we value and we say that are important to us, we want to take them before you right now. We want to turn them over to you and put them at the foot of the cross, because only you are good. Only you are worthy. And as we have celebrated you this morning, as we have remembered you through the celebration of communion, we come before you right now and we say, without you, we are hopeless. Without you, darkness overcomes our life. Without you, we are without a future. But because of you, we are freed. Because of what you've done on the cross. And we worship you this morning. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the dark. Thank you.
When we lived in Long Beach in California, we were introduced to soul food. If you've not had soul food, you need to try it. We loved going to Roscoe's for chicken and waffles. And we were often the only white people in the restaurant, which was an amazing experience. When you hear certain music, it is soul food for you. And I don't know what those songs are. I have hymns, I have current music, I have a wide variety. I actually have a playlist called Soul Food. And when my heart needs to connect with God, when I'm feeling far away from Him, that's where I go. It gives me the creeds. It tells me again, this is what we believe. It tells me again, this is who you are in Jesus. It unites me with people around the world who believe the same. Maybe you need a soul food playlist. I don't know. But rest in it deep. Sometimes we need those songs that just say, God, I hurt right now. And you know what? Somebody else does too because they put it to music. Enjoy that. Enjoy that time with God and rest in His truth. As you go this week, go in His peace and with His song in your heart.